I can't come in today. I've got the flu.
Never mind, darling. I'm sure Santa will bring it next year.
No? Those ski pants don't make your bottom look big. Good evening. I'm Harold Wing Panero. Do any of the preceding remarks sound familiar? Then you are like the literally thousands of people who tell the kind of lie sometimes characterized as little and white. If you gave it a moment's thought, you'd probably say that such tiny lies were harmless. But consider this. When you lie, you tear down the delicate canvas of reality and trample on it, replacing it with crude, childish daubs taken from the refrigerator door of your imagination. Yours is a brazen attempt to interfere with fate herself, to bend her ends to your ends. And fate will not have her ends bent. The young man who will be keeping this week's date with fate was to discover this for himself when he uttered the chilling words.
Yes, it's, in the post.
There it is. Simple little lie told by a humble junior clerk, Simon Matheson of Browning and Son Chartered Surveyors. But nothing is simple when fate holds you in her unblinking gaze. Let's employ freely our privileged position outside and slightly to the left of time to eavesdrop on the preamble to this apparently innocuous porker.
If you're at a loose end, you can make me a coffee. Hello, Browning and Son. Mr. Reynolds? No, he's on holiday. He'll be back. Oh, I see.
Who is it?
Nationwide at Purley. No, I'll check it for you right away.
I'd better take it. Hello,
Alan Shellcross.
Alan! Hi. Simon Matheson here.
How are you?
Well, I'm Mr. Reynolds' personal I work here.
Your boss did a survey for us on the Gibson property over a week ago, and we still haven't received it.
No probs, Alan. Mr. Reynolds did it last week.
Good. I think we're both agreed on that point. Now, why haven't you sent it?
Of course. I've done it. It's done. Our secretary finally typed it up. Honestly, Alan, she can be...
So it's on its way?
Yes, it's, in the post.
I'll expect it tomorrow morning, then. By the way,
Simon.
Simon. Don't call me Alan.
Yes, Mr. Shellcross. That went well. Right, better get that off. Gibson survey, saw that this morning. It'll be right here. Naomi, you haven't seen that letter with the Gibson survey in, have you?
I thought you just said you mailed it.
Yeah, right. Mailed it. Where is the damn thing?
How irritating. But surely the letter containing the survey would show up. Tucked under a blotter, perhaps, or fallen behind Naomi's prodigious spider plant. However, as 5 o'clock appeared on the horizon, the letter failed to do so.
It's not here.
No, it's not.
I'm off home now, Simon.
Yeah, ta-da. Oh, Naomi, some of these files seem to be missing. You don't happen to know where... I mean, have they...
Maybe Mr. Reynolds moved them. You coming?
No, I've got some important, stapling to finish. You go on.
Okay, please.
On his knees, like a supplicant before a jury of filing cabinets, Simon beat his head thoughtfully against the chilly metal and took stock of the facts. The letter was lost. Without the backup copy, there could be no replacement letter. Without a replacement letter, there could well be a replacement Simon when Mr. Reynolds returned. Contemplating the full horror of having to ask for his old job back at Spud You Eat spurred Simon to action. Mr. Reynolds must know where the Gibson survey was. And he was on holiday aboard his yacht, the Annie Lennox, off the Isle of Wight.
Tie off that bloody mainsail! You and you, man the pumps!
Yes. What the hell do you want?
Mr. Reynolds, it's Simon.
Who?
Simon. Matheson, from the office. I work for you.
Oh, you.
We're shipping water.
Man overboard.
Oh, I've been ages trying to get hold of you. You having a nice holiday?
Oh, you know, it's having its ups and downs. I've just lost a crewman, but on the other hand, I'm still alive.
Good, good. Well, we're having a spot of bother finding a file here, and I was...
You! Fire in distress there!
File? What file? What are you raving on about?
I'm sure it's about somewhere. They've got a bit out of alphabetical order. I found an F in the case. I was just wondering if you've done anything to them.
No, but when I get back, I'll certainly do something with them. I'll roll them up into tight cylinders and shove them one by one. Let go!
Yeah! Man overboard!
Hello? Mr. Reynolds? Hello?
And, staring at the phone that was now as useful to him as a harmonica to a beaver, Simon was visited by the sort of inspiration that comes sometimes to the truly desperate and which the truly desperate would be well advised to ignore. In Simon's case, the inspiration, far from being ignored, blossomed into a richly stupid plan.
Right. Double-fronted Victorian, recently repointed, bay window with ornamental leading. Oh, double-glazed.
Darling, wake up.
What?
Can you hear anything?
Just you, my precious.
No, Dickie, a sort of rhythmic tapping. Like a woodpecker.
A woodpecker? In November?
I think we're being broken into.
The woodpecker? Don't be silly.
I think you should go and have a look.
Just be the central heat and playing up. Christ! We're being broken into. You telephone the police, precious. I'll go and tackle them.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm surveying your house, sir. It's all part
you
of...
You don't expect me to believe that, do you?
I'm on the neighborhood watch.
No, really, I am a surveyor. Look, I've got me theodolite.
Get back. I've got a saucepan.
No, really, sir. You must understand, please.
Come here, you. No.
I'm sorry. Oh, God. You didn't give me a chance.
Pausing only to retrieve his theodolite and despairing of even having a quick glass at roof joists, Simon made good his escape. Back in his bed set, he worked through the night, compiling a full survey from his pitifully incomplete and inexpert notes. Hastily forging a covering letter and stuffing the lot into an envelope he'd brought from work, Simon caught the first post on his way into the office. Tired but glad that his problems were at last over, Simon was at his desk at 9 o'clock, as usual.
Simon, wake up. Simon. Oh, you look terrible. All puffy. I bet you could use a coffee.
Oh, yes, please.
So could I. Pop the kettle on. Browning and Son. Hello, Mr. Shallcross. Oh, good.
Shallcross, give me that.
Simon.
Alan, Mr. Shallcross. How are you this morning?
Who are you?
Simon. Simon Matheson.
Now, listen, it's about the Gibson service.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. Typical ruddy post office. Well, I'm sure it'll arrive tomorrow.
It's got to us.
I don't blame you, frankly. It's getting to me, too.
It's arrived, Matheson.
What's arrived?
The Gibson survey, of course. What's wrong with you?
Has it? Oh, good.
Thank your boss for us, William. We'll certainly know how to proceed now we know that the Gibson house is
basically sound.
Falling down.
Falling down? It's just a little damp in the kitchen and the conservatory...
What? The place doesn't have a conservatory. We are talking about the same survey, aren't we?
God.
Tell Reynolds I'll buy him a drink.
Yeah, bye-bye.
What had dawned on Simon like a nuclear winter was that the Nationwide had indeed received Mr. Reynolds' original bona fide survey. Naomi had posted it the previous day, that's why he couldn't find it. If Simon's second bogus survey were now to land next to the original on Alan Shallcross's desk, a career at Spud DeWitt would be a betting certainty. But Simon's letter hadn't arrived yet. He might just be able to intercept it.
Hello. Ah, yes. This is the Nationwide at Purley. Shallcross here. Alan Shallcross.
But Simon's attempt to have all of the Nationwide's mail redirected to a fictitious office in Telford fell at the first hurdle. Apparently you need 3 weeks' written notice, not just one phone call from someone speaking in a silly voice. Foiled on the phone, Simon decided on a trip to the sorting office for a more, hands-on approach.
And I say to you again, comrades, we must strike!
If he couldn't get the letter redirected, he could at least stop it going anywhere at all.
The time for action is now! I mean right now! Let's not sort one more letter! Down, thimbles! Where are you going?
By the following morning, Simon had reached the end of his tether. One last desperate hope remained. If he could not stop the postal system, perhaps he could stop the postman.
Excuse me.
Yeah, mate?
Did you deliver the post to that building over there?
Yeah, mate. Why?
Right, let's see. High Street, right. Pizza Heaven, Chemist, Goodman's Hardware, Nationwide. Nationwide. Got it! Come here, you little beauty.
But in his moment of triumph, fate had not finished with Simon Matheson. By a strange coincidence, a couple doing their weekly shopping at a nearby Tesco's were to be his unforeseen nemesis.
Glad we spotted that six for the price of five off from watermelons.
I hope for Thompson's Lake watermelons. Oh, look, Precious, what's gone on over there?
Oh, yes, there's a postman on the pavement.
Somebody's administering the kiss of life. I'll go over and lend a hand. Wait a minute. He looks familiar. It's that wee sod who belted me with the theodolite last night. Right.
Although the sensation of a watermelon thudding into the base of his skull was unfamiliar to Simon, he knew almost instinctively that it meant trouble. He was right. Mr. Gibson's wrath was implacable.
First me, and now a postman.
Oh, you don't understand.
Enjoy attacking complete strangers, do you? That type of mindless violence makes me sick.
Sorry.
All right. This is a citizen's arrest. You have the right to remain silent. But if you do, I'll start hitting you again.
It was a persuasive argument. Simon was won over by Mr. Gibson's seductive blend of shouting and pummeling and promptly spilled the beans. The vitriolic letter demanding compensation that Gibson subsequently sent Mr. Reynolds arrived while he was recovering in hospital from hypothermia following his yachting accident. With special dispensation from his doctor, he made a short day trip to Simon's home to sack him personally. At this point, I remove the needle of narrative from the groove of our story and replace it several weeks later. Simon is now a changed man. The haunted eyes that peer at us from beneath his half-potato-shaped cap seem older than his 19 years. Chastened by those harrowing 48 hours, he has made a solemn vow. He will never again allow a lie of any sort pass his lips.
Have you ever been to a spud you eat before? I'm afraid I can't recommend anything. It's all horrible.
And so we hear it. Fate had toyed with Simon as a cat would a mouse. The next time you are perhaps tempted to economize with the truth, she may do the same to you, chewing your ears off and snapping your little spine like a toothpick. Next week, we consider what can ensue when love combines with fate to set the human heart aflame. But that tale will attend us when we meet again for another Date with Fate.
The characters woven into Fate's tapestry this week were played by Alex Lowe, Elliot Nichols, Paul Davis, James Green, and Margaret Stammond. Harold Wing Pinero would like to extend a special thank you to Charles Gray.